were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain, on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them. Verse 4, and there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, and whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. So this is a very big man, nine and a half or so feet tall. His coat was about 125 pounds walking around. So he was a very insurmountable person to come up against. In verse 6 it says, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass upon his between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Verse 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. So Goliath is a bit of a bully, and he's put himself out there to make the war or the battle into a one-on-one. The problem is, he knew that he was the biggest one, and he knew the odds were stacked in man's terms in his favor. So he was just a bully. And he said, let's keep reading here. And he said, if he be able to fight with me, this is verse 9, and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So in verse 12 it says, now David was a son that Ephrathite, I'm not even going to try to pronounce these words, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. So let's stop right here and let's think just for a minute. Sometimes in our lives, we can feel a bit underutilized. Sometimes we can feel a bit sidelined. Have you ever felt sidelined? Like I just feel like maybe I'm not on the field, or I'm not pulled into the game. I've seen people in my professional career, I've seen people get maybe in a challenging situation, or maybe they lost favor and they get sidelined sometimes in a job or a position for 5 to 10 years. And then it's amazing that all of a sudden they'll pop out and end up on top of the world. It's a really weird thing. And I watched that. I could name 5, 6, 7 people where that's happened. And I just watch it in amazement that how the persistence and the diligence sometimes can pay off. But a lot of times when we're put in these sideline positions where we're gathering experience, we're gathering information, we're gathering toughness, and sometimes God puts us there. And sometimes He puts us on hold. So God, my first point of the lesson is God can put us in a holding pattern. Let's get into these verses here and let's see what was going on with David in this story. In verse 13 it says, and the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and the next two, in verse 14, and David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. In verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, now take for thy brethren an ephah and of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren. So the older brothers went to battle, and David had come back to care for the sheep. And verse 18 it says, "And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." So Jesse basically said, "David, you're not big enough. You're not important enough. You're not going to get in this battle. You're not going to be part of this battle. But I want you to go carry the food, and I want you to check on your brothers and report back to me how things are going. And oh, by the way, take the leaders there some cheeses so they can get strength, and we can give them some favor." Verse 19, it says, "Now Saul and they and all of the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." So David's brothers had gone out to fight in the battle, and David was left behind to tend the sheep. You got to remember, David from a very young age was anointed as a king by Samuel. And he was chosen very early to be the king after Saul was to be taken out of leadership. And he had already experienced a situation where defending the sheep, he had defeated a bear and a lion. So David, even though he was a small young man, he had the heart of a king and the heart of a warrior. So it had to have been hard for him to be on the sidelines of a battle. But he was on the sidelines. He was in a holding pattern. I think sometimes God puts us on the sidelines to keep us humble. I think it helps us understand not only is the victory God's, but even sometimes being in the game belongs to God. If I'm out of the game, I don't feel very valued. And if I'm always in the mix of things, maybe I start thinking too highly of myself. Maybe I think this situation can't live without me, or this organization, or these people, or this church wouldn't be anything without me, because I'm always in the mix and I've always got my hands on things and I'm always part of that machine. But if God pulls us out of that for a minute, and we have to just kind of watch the show, and we're not necessarily a key mechanism at that moment, that can feel very humbling. That can make you wonder, well, what's next? Is anything next? Well, I think God has us go through those experiences, not only so that we'll understand that the victory is His, but just the game itself is His, and our involvement in that game is His. So if you're sidelined, just know it can be natural, and it can be a situation where you're being set up for what's next. You could be growing strength, you could be growing knowledge, you could be growing situational awareness. There's a lot of things you could be growing in a time of being sidelined. If it were victory every day, or every year even, we'd start to think too much of ourselves, I think. We'd start to think that we were the ones that were the victors. And we may start to think that the wins are our own. So, David also remembered, point number two, I've got 6 points so y'all can follow along. I know it's Wednesday night and everyone's tired. We're going to go from one to six, okay? Point two, David remembered his past victories. Let's find that in the scripture here. Let's go to verse 32 in 1 Samuel 17. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went after him and smote them and delivered them out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Verse 36, "Thy servant slew both a lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "And the Lord be with thee." He said, "Go and the Lord be with thee." So David had confidence in his current situation because he remembered victories that God had given him in the past. God had given a victory before. God's given you victories before, and He'll give you victories again. You may feel defeated today, but don't forget what God's done in the past. It's the same God. We may change. We may get in a situation where we start to lose faith or we start to lose hope. We may start to lose strength. We may get older. We may not be as sharp as we used to be. We start to fail in a lot of different ways. I saw a hand raise on that one. We start to fail in a lot of different ways, but God does not even begin to fail. He never loses strength. He never loses power. He never loses foresight. He never loses the vision on our lives and the purpose on our lives. It's us that needs Him, not Him that needs us. There is a time in our lives sometimes where there's no hope and there's no answer, but God can bring victories in those situations. So don't think about today's battle, that today's battle is any harder than what God's already won. You ever had a situation in your life where you didn't see a way out and you knew there was no hope, and then all of a sudden God moved in and fixed that situation, almost sometimes in an instant? Whenever we're in a situation where we're starting to lose ourselves, we can think back to those previous victories, just like David did in this situation. Point three, David counted only on God. In this situation, David counted only on God. Verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. He said, I've not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. David said, I'm not going to count on your armor. I'm not going to count on your sword. I'm not going to count on your shield. It says in verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chosen five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had. And even a scrip and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. David counted only on God. He took what he knew with him to battle. He didn't lean on other solutions, man's solution. He didn't lean on Paul's solution. He took himself and his faith in God. The five stones, I know everyone's probably aware of a few numerology facts in the Bible. Five is always a number for grace. I think it's amazing, and we know how the story ends. I'm not telling you a story you don't know, that out of the five stones, he only needed one. To me, that says there's always more grace than what we could ever use up. There's always more grace than what we ever need to address the issues in our life or the giants in our life. It tells me that God has endless grace for us. Point number four. We're moving fast. Point number four. David showed up just as himself. He just showed up as himself. Let's get into the verses real quick. Verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his small g gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. So in point number four, David just showed up just as himself, as a little shepherd boy, with orange hair and ruddy face and a fair countenance. And he just showed up genuine himself with no pretenses, not pretending to be a soldier, not dressed up like a soldier, just God, a sling, and some stones. That's what he said he needed. David didn't look a whole lot like Goliath. He was not a hardened soldier. He wasn't even a man. He was just a kid. But he showed up just as himself. I'm repeating that because I think we have a lot of trouble in America today showing up just as ourselves. I think we have a lot of avenues to present ourselves different as ourselves. It's no different than any other time in history, except for we have technology that allows us to paint pictures of ourselves that may or may not be exactly what's there. David showed up exactly as himself. I think there's a lot of value in us presenting ourselves exactly as we are, because God created us exactly as we are. He didn't create us to. He didn't create me to be Jamie. And if I'm putting on pretenses that I'm Jamie, then I can't be fulfilling my purpose in life. Jamie's got to feel his purpose in life. I've got to feel my purpose in life. I can't be or pretend someone else. We don't have to peacock. Y'all know that term, peacock? We don't have to peacock as Christians. Well, the term comes from, you ever seen a peacock? They're little skinny little long birds. And then when they get threatened or they get excited, their tail fans out, and then it starts to do this shimmery thing, and it's huge and massive, and they try to make themselves look bigger and scarier than they are. David didn't peacock. He just walked straight up and said, you know, I'm here. He didn't act bigger, and he didn't start acting different. It's okay for us to be genuinely who we are and present ourselves exactly as that, be comfortable in our skins, and approach the world in a way that we want them to accept. We want everyone to accept us just as God created us, because that's the perfect design that God had for us. I'm not saying we can't improve. I'm not saying we can't fix ourselves when things are broken. But at a core, it's okay to be exactly who you are. You can be real. You can be genuine. And you can be comfortable in your own skin. I'll give you an example. If you work in a workplace where all of the bosses are telling off-color jokes or using foul language, you don't have to present yourself that way. Maybe to be part of the club, you have to present yourself that way. But God didn't design you to be part of that club. So my advice, present yourself exactly as you are. Be obedient to what God has for you. And anything that is meant for you out of that situation, God can make it happen. Because God doesn't need us to be good. He doesn't need us to be smart. He doesn't need us to be strong. He doesn't need us to be eloquent. He doesn't need any of those traits to bless us. But what He does need and what He does require is for us to be obedient. And if we can be obedient in situations, God can bless us in situations. Even when no one else is voting on our behalf and no one is speaking up for us, no one else in that group believes we quite fit, God can squeeze in a place for us. God can make a way for us in those situations. Not because we fit in, but because we were obedient. And God has that power. David was just ready and fair, and Goliath was offended. I think that's funny. That shows a great deal of arrogance. 5. David came in the name of God. Let's look at verse 45 here. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." So you're pretty equipped, Goliath. I see you're a warrior. I see you're huge, and you're pretty equipped for this battle. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David had the faith to say, you're not really up against me at this point. I'm just a mechanism for God to do what God needs to do. And I don't care if you're a bear. I don't care if you're a lion. I don't care if you're a giant. I don't care if you're a building. I don't care if you're a mountain. God is strong enough to see me through this, and God is strong enough to break you down. David came in God's name. Do we step up in God's name? Do we come under some other power like maybe our own strengths or our own talents. We always do better to show up under God's name. Do we declare God openly? Someone we're listening to, Christians, they know when our names come up. If someone's listening to church, they know when our names come up. I don't know. Do we declare God openly? Do we let people know how we believe? David did, and David won. So I think that's a part of a winning combination, not only for David, but also for us. Number six, David executed in two ways. Okay, let's look at this. 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. One sling, one stone. And smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And I think they had to back up the whole commitment of, we'll serve you. I guess they decided just to run instead of serve, but whatever, if y'all remember the verses. But David executed. David took action. He stepped up to the problem, and he addressed the problem. He didn't stare at the problem. I think a lot of times we get frozen in indecision, and we stare at the problem. He didn't freeze with fear or indecisiveness. He just trusted God and went into the problem. David was decisive, and he took action. And that was a combination. That was one of the elements of his ability to win. So in conclusion, sometimes I just need a win. Sometimes I see other people and I think, boy, I wish they'd just get a win. They just deserve a win right now. And David got a win. So I believe that these six things, David was sidelined and not invited to the battle. I think that's part of winning. It's part of us building the character that we need so when it's time to execute, we're ready to do that. David was confident because he remembered past victories. We can always remember what God's done for us in the past, even if we can't see Him working in the very moment. David trusted God and not man's armor. He didn't trust his own strength. He didn't trust Saul's strength. He trusted God. David showed up genuinely himself, exactly as God had designed him. Call me names, label me. That's what God created. So that's kind of who I am. Sometimes we don't like to get labels. We like to shake off someone saying something about our the way we are. Maybe you should embrace the labels, because that's, even if they mean it derogatory, it could just be accurate and it just could be who you are. So just, embrace it. Move on with it. Genuinely show up who you are. David came in God's name. We can always benefit from coming in God's name. And number six, David was decisive and he executed. He did not hesitate. In order to get things done in life, in order to get a win, sometimes we have to take action. We have to move, and we have to move toward the problem. So David got a win, and I pray that each of you may get a win and a victory in God this week. Thank you.